In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Thanks so much for joining us today for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and we've been talking to Dr. Rich Schmidt, who is now in full-time Christian work after many, many years of bivocational Christian work and secular work, as it were. And Rich, you and I were talking about missionaries on deputation trying to raise funds for 3 or 4 years. And you said I hit a sore spot right there because of folks having to wait so long to be able to follow God's call. It was a tremendous joy for me. The last ministry I was in that had a missions budget of $700,000 a year.
Wow.
Missions budget. And the missions policy was, we will send our own out fully supported by our church.
That, Pastor, is an absolutely tremendous philosophy. To cut down on missionaries having to go get their families together, get in the car, go church to church, state to state. And again, I think the biggest miss, if you will, and this is my opinion, but I think we're probably on the same page with this, I think way too many churches want to have a missions board, literally a board on the wall, and they want to have a lot of pictures on it to make it, to show that they're very supportive of missionaries all over the world. But the problem is when every one of those dots represents a $50 check or a $25 check.
Right.
That's not helping the missionaries, quite frankly.
No.
I know there's certain churches that have very, very limited resources, and God bless them. If they can send $50, that's a wonderful thing. But most churches can do much, much better than that. I'm not trying to be critical, but I just think philosophically, the paradigm that exists right now, we're wasting God's time, and we're wasting these missionaries' time by making them travel all over the country to try and get enough support, literally, to go out and do his work.
It was a real blessing because we would take note of young people that said they felt called to missions, and we would begin to train them in their teenage years. During missions conferences, we would assign them to missionary families, and they would be kind of their go-to people during the entire missions conference. They would be with them at all times, getting them whatever they needed, talking to them, asking them questions, rubbing elbows with them. And then we would help them go out to college, and we'd help them with their college expenses. Then they would come back, and they would serve a year's internship with our church, serving in all different kinds of areas. And then we would send them to the mission field. They literally would be part of our church staff because we were paying them full time.
That's tremendous. And, you know, you're to be, and your people that were part of that church are to be commended for investing in these missionaries. And it is an investment.
Oh, yeah.
It does take a considerable amount of money. But when God's people realize that God has to get his work done through people, and you literally train them, give them those internships, and actually provide the resources for them to go do God's work.
Sure.
What a blessing. What a wonderful paradigm, if you will.
So when they came back from the mission field after 4 years, they were able to be in our church for a year to be ministered to be lifted up and encouraged and helped. And then, of course, they became a part of our teaching ministry during that year, a part of our ministering. They would speak in church and things like that, but to be refreshed so that when they were ready to go back to the field, they'd had a refreshing year as opposed to traveling all over the United States and never being able to be around their church family. It was an awesome plan.
Well, you brought up a good point, too. Missionaries actually at times suffer greatly. And when they're out on the field and they're working hard and it's challenging, and people need to understand how challenging missionary work is.
Right.
When they leave home and they leave the comfort of mom and dad and loved ones and your home church, like you mentioned,
right,
they're out there fighting on their own. Now, yes, the Lord is there, and yes, the Holy Spirit's there helping them through these things. They're working, but when they're out there, they are really being challenged to the point sometimes of physical harm and persecution, lack of friendships, and they are pounding the pavement, if you will, for the Lord. So it's just wonderful when churches realize that. And it's like, okay, it's time to come home.
Right.
Take a breather. Take your sabbatical, if you will. Get recharged. Get pumped up. Get back with the people that love you. Get back out to the field. Then after you're, if you will, refreshed in the Lord.
And we would also send either myself as a pastor or other assistant pastors, teams, if they sense that during the course of their tenure out there, they were at a low spot, we'd send some folks to their field, spend a couple weeks with them, encourage, pray, you know, and do what we could to help them.
Well, that's wonderful.
In that process.
And God's allowed us, my wife and I, to do some of that as well, where we'll go out to the mission field. Now, we'll be honest, we're taking a little vacation, but we're going to spend some time, go see the missionaries. It's just a delight to them to see somebody from the state show up at their doorstep.
Right.
And it's a tremendous uplifting experience for them, much more for them probably than us.
Can you think of other things that local churches can do to try to equip young people to be open to God's call?
Well, I'll tell you, there's several things I think that are just absolutely important. One is every single person is in a specific church for a specific reason.
Good point.
God has gifted every single person with at least one spiritual gift, if you will. In other words, are they being called to be a pastor, a teacher, an administrator? Do they have the gift of helps? Are they a serving type person? And I very much believe that God puts people in churches to do a specific job.
Okay.
Again, God gets work done through people. So when the church is aware of that, when the pastoral staff is aware of that, when the deacons and or elders, depending on what the church government is, and they are working with young people, helping them, if you will, to realize the spiritual giftedness that they have, get them plugged in and help them to be an integral part of the church.
Okay.
That's the basic piece. And then when they get a little bit older, when the time is right, if God decides to move them, take that spiritual giftedness, if you will,
right,
and move it out to the foreign field or move it to another area to take some type of ministry position, now you've got somebody who's well-trained and ready to go.
For instance, we have Awana on Sunday night. We have our youth program on Wednesday night. So we could use some mature, older young people on Sunday night to minister to the younger children in the Awana program.
And there's another good point. Now, here's a point that I would make. Again, when God gives people with certain talents, certain skills that he gives to them,
right,
I'll be honest, I'm not the best person to work with young people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I got involved in the Awana ministry, and I've done that, and it really, when I was in the Awana ministry or children's ministry doing junior church, it was a real push for me to, from where my comfort zone was, if you will. It was.
Mm-hmm.
But you put me into an adult class or with people that are wanting to do deeper theology study. Man, that's when I get excited.
Sure, right.
So there's people out there that God has gifted. There's people that have been gifted to go into the nursery at churches. They love babies. They love that time. And boy, is that needed in the church.
Right.
People that are going to the nursery. There are people that are absolutely the young people where most, I mean, let's be straightforward. Most people get saved when they're young. They trust Christ in those formative years when God is really working on them. So the Awana leaders or the youth group leaders or the high school leaders, wow, how important that is. But again, if you get excited about that group or that age group, man, you ought to be in there doing it.
Right.
Don't get in there and get busy.
I know my oldest son wanted to sing, but he could not carry a tune. And so my mother said, son, you need to be helping him to learn how to sing. And I said, Mother, it's useless. He cannot carry a tune. She said, I'll work with him. I said, yeah, good luck on that. So she would sit at the piano and she would help him, and he was almost tone deaf type of a thing, you know. And so finally, after a couple of years, she said, okay, he's ready to sing. I said, ready to sing where? And she said, in church. Well, she was in charge of our special music. And I said, no, Mother, he is not singing in church. And she said, but he's, I said, no, ma'am, he is not singing. She said, fine. Now, whenever your mother says, fine, that means you're in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And so here I am, the pastor, and she's in charge of our special music. And she said, all right, your dad and I go out to the Anchorage, which is a home for alcoholics. She said, he's going to sing out there. I said, okay, go ahead and let him sing out there, you know. And so she taped it. This is back in the days of cassette tapes. She taped it, and he did all right.
Well, that's good.
And then he continued to develop. His last semester of college, he traveled for Bob Jones University in a male quartet, singing, and earned his seminary training by singing in that quartet. So she obviously, you know, proved me wrong. Whatever the field is, whether it's singing or instrument playing or whatever it is, God can use anybody, is what we're saying.
That's a great point, because, you know, some of the greatest effective preachers that I know, their first sermon, they basically got a couple of words out, sat down, and were like,
yeah,
I can't do this. I'm terrible at it. But again, if God is calling somebody, God will give the person the abilities, the skill set in order to get the job done. So you may be out there and it's like, wow, you know, I really want to sing, or I really want to preach, or I really want to teach, but man, I'm bad at it.
Right,
and
right.
Even their counselors are telling them they're bad at it. But God keeps working on them. They keep developing, and all of a sudden that caterpillar turns into a beautiful butterfly, and God can use it.
When I was pastoring in Atlanta, I went to this church, and they had 22 buses. If your church owns 22 buses, you better have a bus mechanic.
Yeah.
And we did. And I was so thankful, because he was busy all the time working on these buses, trying to keep them running. And I would go down to his shop down there, and I'd say, Howard, thank God for you. Because if it were not for you, we couldn't be bringing in hundreds and hundreds of boys and girls and teenagers to our Sunday school and youth activities, things like that, if it were not for you. Now, here's a man that could not speak publicly if his life depended on it.
Well, Pastor, you're bringing out such great points today, that God must have people in various skill sets in order to keep his work going. Whether it's the mechanic on the bus, we've got to have them. We run buses.
Exactly.
We've got to have the person who can help with building projects.
Oh, yeah.
Or setting up the podiums and the stages and all the different things. We have people at the church that we're part of, at Brookside Baptist Church, are very, very skilled in carpentry and different types of mechanic and plumbing and all those things. That saves the church a lot of money, and it's a wonderful thing that they're willing to volunteer their services. So, again, when we're looking at missions, when we're looking at God's work, God uses different people with different qualifications and different venues to get his work done.
And every time I hear a missionary preach, one of the things he mentions, either first or at least in his message, is pray for us. And this is obviously something that our senior citizens, if they can do nothing else, they can be prayer warriors for the missionaries that their church is supporting. Well, we've run out of time. Any last word?
Well, I'll just say this. My dad's 92 years old. He's basically housebound, and he prays for people, and every person that comes to visit him, doctor, nurse, or whomever, they're going to hear the gospel.
Wonderful. See, that is being faithful to the end. And my Christian friend, you're listening to our broadcast this morning. Wherever you are, whatever situation you find yourself in, God can use you. As long as you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Because if you're not dead, you're not done. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.